So, today we'll begin our Srimad Bhagavatam class, text number, we're in chapter 8, which is the prayers of Queen Kunti, and we're getting very close to the end of the chapter. So you have a printed pages there. That's yes. And if you go back toward the very end of that, which one did we do last week? Let's see. Did we do 49? I've killed many boys, Brahmins, well-wishers, friends. Yeah, I think we did that one. We're on 50 today?
Yeah.
Okay. Text number 50. It begins, Naino Ragyaha Prajabhartur. Very near the end. Naino Ragyaha Prajabhartur. Naino Ragya Prajabhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadho Tvisham Dharma Yudhe Vadho Tvisham Iti Me Na Tu Bodhaya Iti Me Na Tu Bodhaya Kalpate Shashanang Vachaha Kalpate Shashanang Vachaha Naino Ragya Prajabhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadho Dvisham Iti Menatu Bodhaya Kalpate Shashanang Vachaha Naino Ragyak Prajabhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadho Dvisham Iti Menatu Bodhaya Kalpate Shashanang Vachaha Naino Ragyak Prajabhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadho Dvisham Iti Menatu Bodhaya Kalpate Shashanang Vachaha Naino Ragyak Prajabhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadho Dvisham Iti me natu bodhaya Kalpate shashanang vachaha Naino ragyak prajabhartur Dharma yudhe vadho dvisham Iti me natu bodhaya Kalpate Shashanang Vachaha Naino Ragyak Prajabhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadho Dvisham Iti Menatu Bodhaya Kalpate Shashanang Vachaha Naino Ragyak Prajabhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadho Dvisham Iti Menatu Bodhaya Kalpate Shashanang Vachaha Word for word. Na, never. Enaha, sins. Ragyaha, of the king. Prajabhartur, of one who is engaged in the maintenance of the citizens. Dharma, for the right cause. Yudhe, in the fight. Vadhaha, killing. Dvisham, of the enemies. Iti, all these. May, for me. Na, never. Tu, but. Bodhaya, for satisfaction. Kalpate, they are meant for administration. Shashanam, injunction. Vachaha, words of. Translation. There is no sin for a king who kills for the right cause, who is engaged in maintaining his citizens. But this injunction is not applicable to me. Please repeat. There is no sin for a king who kills for the right cause, who is engaged in maintaining his citizens. But this injunction is not applicable to me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhishthira thought that although he was not actually involved in the administration of the kingdom, which was being carried on well by Duryodhana without harm to the citizens, he caused the killing of so many living beings only for his personal gain of the kingdom from the hands of Duryodhana. The killing was committed not in the course of administration, but for the sake of self-aggrandizement, and as such, he thought himself responsible for all the sins. Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vritam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitanscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Debe Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamine Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhurya Jvala Prematya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaurabhir Bhava Bhumestvang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhaumakshri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratushe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnang Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavatarang Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Jayatang Surato Pangur Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasva Padam Bhojao Radha Madana Mohanao Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadhak Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devao Prashtali Bhiksevyamanao Smarami Sriman Rasara Sarambhi Vangshivatatatak Stitaha Karshan Venu Svanair Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Tarkanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindaye Tulsi Devye Priyaye Keshavashyacha Krishna Bhakti Pradi Devi Satyavatyai Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, text 50. Once again, Naino Ragya Prajabhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadho Dvisham Iti Me Natubodhaya Kalpate Shashanang Vachaha. There is no sin for a king who kills for the right cause, who is engaged in maintaining his citizens, but this injunction is not applicable to me. So, where we are now is, for those of you who are new to the class, that the battle of Kurukshetra has been completed, and Krishna was there with the Pandavas, and they performed the rites for the all the departed people who died in the war and so forth. And then Krishna was preparing to go back to Dwarka. Then Queen Kunti came to him. Well, there was the story of how Ashwatthama threw a Brahmastra to try to kill Parikshit Maharaj. Krishna protected him. But then Queen Kunti came and made beautiful prayers describing him, describing Krishna, his qualities, his situation, the situation of his devotees, and basically imploring him that she couldn't bear to be separated from him, and she would request that he stayed there with them for a little more time. But Krishna, being fully independent, accepted her prayers and smiled and prepared to go. Then Yudhishthir Maharaj came and persuaded Krishna to stay. And now Yudhishthir Maharaj could not be persuaded. In spite of all philosophy, in spite of all the advice of great sages, of Vyasadeva, and even of Krishna, he couldn't be persuaded that he was not guilty. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purports that, of course, he was not guilty, and that as a pure devotee, he would know that. But for the purpose of Leela, and particularly for the purpose of having Bhishma Dev speak to him about the whole science of ruling the kingdom, niti instructions. So just like Arjuna had been put into the illusion of being concerned that he would be committing sin by fighting the battle of Kurukshetra before the battle started, so now, after the battle is over and so many people have died, Yudhishthir Maharaj is playing the role of an ordinary man who's lamenting about the horrible sins he's committed. And he can't be persuaded that he hasn't committed those sins, even though he knows. In fact, he's saying here in this verse, there is no sin for a king who kills for the right cause. But he's feeling like this injunction doesn't apply to him. In the one sense, when we see devotees like Arjuna and Yudhishthir Maharaj showing this compassion, even though this is not expected of a devotee to be illusioned, devotee is under no illusions about things. but for the sake of Leela, Krishna is putting them in these illusions. But at the same time, it does show the softness, the qualities of a devotee, soft-hearted qualities of a devotee, humility of a devotee. Maharaj Yudhisthira knows very well that if a king is engaged in doing his duty to protect his citizens, then no sin befalls him for performing his duty, even though ordinarily killing is very sinful. Violence is wrong. A saintly person is nonviolent. What does that violence mean? That the living entity should not be checked in his progress. Just like an animal has a certain amount of time to live, or a human has a certain amount of time to live, an animal has to serve out his sentence of being so much time in the body of a cat before he can take the next body coming up. And if he's killed before he's filled out his time, then his progress is checked. He has to go back as a cat some more. He hasn't fulfilled his time. So the affairs of the universe are very complicated, and when someone disturbs it in one place, it creates ripple effects of disturbing in other places. In law school we studied these ideas of blood feuds, that in societies that didn't have a strong king that would control and punish people, what would happen is, for example, in the United States, in the Ozark Mountains and the Appalachian Mountains, where the people were away from society and there weren't so many judges and police and things. So there would be some fight over something. People would become angry and one man would kill another man. So then the people of that family, they would take vengeance by killing someone else from the other family. And then that family would have to take vengeance by killing someone else. And sometimes this would go on so long that nobody remembered what the original killing was about. But it was just, in fact, in the United States, the famous feud is the Hatfields versus the McCoys. Two families, one family named Hatfield and one family named McCoy. And for over 100 years, you know, one brother from the Hatfields would have to kill one McCoy, and then one McCoy would have to come and kill one Hatfield. So these blood feuds are going on. So there's all kinds of reactions. When one acts outside of one's duty in life, then reactions will come to one. But although violence is not proper, nevertheless, in human society, violence is often necessary. If we had no police, sometimes like in New York City, there was a strike or something like that, or there was a blackout, and you know, the people couldn't get to see where the criminals were and what they were doing. So in that situation, people take advantage of the situation and decide that they'll go break the windows of the stores and take the goods home with them because they won't get caught. So there is always a class of people who feel like if the police aren't there to check them, then they'll do things whatever they want. Right? We have... In the United States, we have this phenomenon of outlaw motorcycle gangs. And their idea is that they want to be free from the constraints of society. They want to feel like no laws, no police can control them. They'll do whatever they want. And they consider themselves a special breed of, you know, there's just 1% of the motorcyclers are really outlaws, and they're the 1%ers, you know, like that. So we need, in society, we need a police force to keep order and to keep regulation. It's important that the royal order, the kshatriyas, protect the citizens from the harm that may occur by people who are not good people, not obedient people. The order has to be maintained in society. And for maintaining that order out of a sense of duty and service to God, no one incurs any sin for doing that. Krishna is explaining that to Arjuna because this is the theme in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the main themes. Arjuna is saying, well, I will incur sin. How will I enjoy the kingdom if I have to enjoy it at the cost of killing my loved ones, my relatives, my cousins, and even my guru and my grandfather Bhishma. Here, grandfather Bhishma, this is being set up. The very next chapter that we're going to read is the passing away of Bhishma Dev, and this is all being arranged so that Bhishma can, before he passes away, watching Krishna in front of him, he first wants to instruct his dear grandson, Yudhishthir Maharaj, now that the war is over and the battle has been fought, and now you've become the king, now this is how you should rule the kingdom. So Bhishma actually, he's a great Mahajan, and he actually wanted Yudhishthir to become the king, but at the same time, because he was being maintained by the Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana camp, then he felt that it was his duty to actually fight on the other side. So Duryodhana was worried, though, because Duryodhana knew that Bhishma was so affectionate to the Pandavas. So now that the war was over and all these people had been killed, and this great killing had taken place, according to the will of Krishna, Krishna desired it to take place. And of course, we all know the story of how the Pandavas tried to avoid the war in so many ways, even though the dice game was rigged and they were cheated. You know, first they were cheated, they were given the deserted part of the kingdom, right? And yet with Krishna's help, there had actually been a curse over that part of the kingdom, and with Krishna's help, the forest was consumed by Agni, and anyway, the curse was lifted, the rain fell, and Indraprastha became the most opulent capital city in the world, and Yudhishthir was able to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. Duryodhana came there, and he made a mistake in the palace that was built by Maya Danava. So he stepped in some water, thinking it to be land, and the ladies in the palace laughed at him, and he just couldn't tolerate it again. So anyway, they arranged this cheating gambling match, and they banished the Pandavas, and the Pandavas, they fulfilled all the terms of the banishment. And they had to live in exile. They had to spend the last year incognito without being discovered. They fulfilled all those terms, during which time they underwent so many hardships. And still when they came back, Duryodhana was not prepared to give them back their kingdom. He had been scheming, which was his plan, that while they were away, he would make politics and get allies and be able to prevent them. And yet, the Pandavas were quite willing to compromise. And they didn't want a war at any cost. And they sent Krishna even. Krishna agreed to go as their envoy to Hastinapur and try to arrange for a compromise. And Duryodhana insulted even Krishna. He was so intoxicated that he insulted even Lord Krishna. And the Pandavas said, "We will accept just 5 villages because we're Kshatriyas. It's our duty to be ruling the citizens and to be princes. So if you just give us 5 villages that we can rule, you can have the whole rest of the kingdom." And even that Duryodhana wouldn't go for. So there was no fault on the part at all of Yudhishthir Maharaj. And killing in human society is sometimes necessary. It just sometimes it happens, there has to be a war. Of course, in those days, they didn't do the war like we do today, where bombs are dropped on cities, on people's houses and things like that. That wasn't done. Rather, the battlefield was separate away from society, away from the cities, in the holy place of Kurukshetra. And there were rules of chivalry, that you wouldn't kill someone who was running away. You would fight with an equal. You know, if you had a mace, you would fight with someone with a mace. There were specific rules. And at nighttime, they would stop fighting. Even in modern times, I was just seeing some history movie about the Revolutionary, American Revolutionary War. And it was the rules of warfare in the 18th century that when winter came and it became too cold, then hostilities would cease and people would go home, and because the English were fighting all the way over in America, and so Lord Cornwallis was going to go back and get to see his wife and so forth before returning in the spring to continue the fight. So there are such rules of engagement and rules of warfare existed. I mean, they still, in World War I, they started using poison gas on the battlefield, mustard gas and things, chlorine gas, and it was considered very, very horrible, and they made rules against these things. So there are still rules of warfare that are supposed to be honored. But modern warfare is such that they drop an atomic bomb on a whole city of people, civilians, you know, children, women, you know, priests. Everyone is killed, incinerated by these bombs. But even in the best of circumstances, like Kurukshetra, warfare is very disruptive in society. People do get killed. People's husbands, people's children, people's parents, they get killed. And there are so many disruptions in society. And of course, you know, such things are terrible. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was without any sin because he was being directed by Krishna, and this war was desired by Krishna, and it was his duty, actually. It was Arjuna's duty and Yudhishthira's duty. It was the Pandavas' duty to prevail in this war. They weren't doing it for self-aggrandizement. Krishna says, sukha dukha sume kritva labho labho jaya jayo. What's the verse? You've got the verse book there. So, in the second chapter, I forget the verse, where he says, if you do your fight without considering victory or defeat, samak siddhava siddhau cha. Anyway, naiva papam avapsisi. It's not in it? Chapter 2, verse 38, I think. Bhagavad Gita. Maybe it's not there. No. So anyway, verse 38. Sukha dukha same kritva labho labho jaya jayao. Samak siddhava siddhau cha. Maybe that's not right. Naiva papam avapsyasi. Tato yudhaya yudhyasva naiva papam avapsisi. Tato yudhaya yudhyasva. So fighting in this way. Tato yudhaya yudhyasva naiva papam avapsisi. You won't incur sin if you fight without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, but just for the sake of fighting. For the sake of, you know, and it's understood that he's talking about for the sake of fighting out of religious duty. When it is your duty to fight. Kshatriya has to protect. Kshatriya has to stand up and fight when he's challenged. So for the sake of society going well, for the sake of there being order and protection and things in society.
But this would apply to a just war, isn't it?
Yes.
It says that fight without victory or defeat, gain or loss, that you will not incur sin. That in this case, of course, the war shall be sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if you look at a war like an Iraq war, where so many of those people in that country died, one wonders whether these types of things will apply.
Yes, and that's an important point, that this applies only to a just war. The verse says, for the sake of fighting, it shouldn't mean that, you know, Kshatriya should just be a belligerent person that's going around and fighting everyone for whatever, without reason. That's what the way the asuras behave. You know, they just like to fight for the sake of fighting. Krishna means here, he's telling Arjuna, and he's been telling him, in the context of this just war, that the point is that don't fight for the sake of gain. Don't think, I'm doing this fight and then I'll be so glorious and I'll have a big kingdom and I'll enjoy like anything. If you're in that mentality, then you will incur sin. But if you fight because it's your duty, and you fight, and as Krishna further describes, you know, meditating on Krishna, ma manusmara yatya cha. If you fight for Krishna and you worship Krishna by your fighting, or by whatever else your duty is, because most of us, our duty is not to be soldiers and fight in a war, and it's there. To determine exactly what cause is just and what cause is not just can be a difficult thing. But please come in. Hare Krishna. So we're not, in this class, we're not going to get to the level of, you know, political discussion of whether it was right to invade one country or another country, or whether the United States, the United States has done many unjust things. I don't want to be like Reverend Wright. Apparently, in the discourse of presidential electoral campaigns, a minister of God is not allowed to criticize the United States' policy or else.
But there's also another point. And so that is a material criterion which also goes counter to this. Because here, you are not to think of victory or defeat, gain or loss. You are to fight because, in this case, of course, there is injustice done to the Pandavas. So Krishna is on their side saying, no, you are a Kshatriya, go and fight. Don't worry about victory or defeat, gain or loss. But if you look at the material standards, the one that Bush applied, he's all the time thinking about victory. And so that's another thing that runs counter to what is being said in Shastra.
Mainly, the problem is the Kshatriyas are supposed to uphold the order of Dharma. And the modern-day leaders, political leaders all over the world, they don't understand anything about Dharma. And I don't want to also seem arrogant and like I know about Dharma and they don't. Dharma is, it's something we have to study as human beings. We have to be righteous. We have to know how things are arranged. That really the purpose of the king is to protect the citizens but also engage them on the right path. That's another thing they don't know anything about nowadays is yajna, sacrifice. That the purpose... The citizens should all be engaged somehow in worshiping the Supreme God and offering Him things. And how to do that? In the previous ages, the kings would perform yajnas like Ashvamedha yajna and Rajasuya yajna and so many Gomedha, so many different yajnas. Now it's tomorrow is Ramachandra's appearance day, and we get to consider the qualities of the ideal king and the person who's perfectly guided by Dharma, by Dharmic principles. Yudhishthira is another such person. And they would perform sacrifices for the benefit of all the citizens and everyone would be engaged. Now in this age, it's too expensive. We can't perform those sacrifices. We think we're so much more opulent than the modern mentality is now that it's become arrogant and they think that, oh, in the ancient times people were all cavemen and they didn't have anything. But now we're so wealthy. We have airplanes and cars and we can do so many things with our technology. But actually this technology is very gross technology. The technology of previous ages, people could do things with mantras and they could do them very nicely. And they didn't cause any pollution, and they didn't have to exploit the earth, all the oil and things from the earth, and things could be done very nicely like that. But anyway, in this modern age, when we can't, we don't have even the brahmanas. You know, to properly perform the sacrifices also, the brahmanas would have to chant so nicely and everything would have to be done so nicely that the gods would actually come and participate and take their share of the offerings. And when they would kill the animals in these animal sacrifices, which also looks like violence, but actually it was not violent. Although they were killing the animal, the mantras were being performed so nicely that the animal was actually given a proper, suitable, young, new body. So they would show the efficacy of their mantras, and they would also be doing it for the benefit of everyone. Those sacrifices are forbidden now because they'll be done by... It's like if you could imagine, you know, people heard about heart transplant operations, but if the surgeons lost the technique and they didn't know how to do it anymore, then they would just, but they were trying to do heart transplant, they would just be killing their patients all the time. But if they said, oh, we've heard of these heart transplants, we were supposed to do them, but they would kill everybody, then it should be forbidden. So similarly, the killing of the cows and horses and so forth in these Vedic sacrifices of ancient times, that's forbidden nowadays because it's not being... First of all, we don't have the wealth to do it properly, and second of all, we don't have the actual quality of priests to do it properly. But there's a different sacrifice that's prescribed for this Kali Yuga, and it's a very wonderful sacrifice, and this is the Sankirtan. By getting together and chanting the holy name and fully glorifying Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam as we were reading the verses this morning, that we were reading that people who have lost their way due to the darkness of the age of Kali will get light from this Bhagavatam, and that these verses of the Bhagavatam, they're in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So this, what we're doing right now, is a sacrifice also. We're glorifying Krishna together and trying to fully glorify Krishna. And this is very pleasing to Krishna. And this is the proper method of sacrifice in this age. Hari Bol. And so at any rate, there is material atonement, prayashchitta. There are... performs of penances and rituals that one may do to atone for sins. But Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that better than these material karmakanda rituals is this chanting of the holy name. That it can completely wash us from any sins we've performed. And also, more importantly, it actually destroys the very seed of performing new sins. Because it changes our heart and makes us develop, as we were talking about before, Hare Krishna. As we were talking about earlier in reading the Brahma Samhita, it actually makes us develop spontaneous love for Krishna, where we can give up the whole long ingrained, for millions of years, millions of births, millions of universes even, the long ingrained habit of thinking that our benefit will be in something material. And we can attain to the mood that our real benefit is to serve Krishna, that we are not enjoyers, we're servants of the enjoyer. So by this chanting of the holy name, the Sankirtan Yajna, we'll be reminded of our actual position, our Sanatan Dharma, which is the servants of Krishna. And then we can actually develop for ourselves a place in the spiritual world, a suitable body in which to serve Krishna in the spiritual world through our chanting with all sincerity the holy names here in our current human form. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is lamenting like this, although there was no sin. We know that it's proper that kings have duty sometimes to engage in warfare. And that he engaged in warfare and strictly religious principles and did it strictly under the instruction of Krishna. But the people who were killed, in fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna revealed to Arjuna in his universal form, he said they're all killed already by previous arrangement. Dronak, Jayadratha, Bhishma, Bhishma Dronak. Anyway, Jayadratang Cha. It's not going to be, it will be in here, yeah, in the 11th chapter. Chapter 11. He said, by previous arrangement, they've all been killed. So he told Arjuna to simply be an instrument, Nimitta Matrang Bhava Savya Sachin. Nimitta Matrang is 11:33, right? And then 34 is the one that says, Dronang cha bhijmang cha jayadratang cha karnang tatanyan api yodhaviran mayahatang stvang jahi mavyatishta yud yasva jaitasi rene sapatnan. Drona, Bhijma, Jayadratha, Karna, and other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight and you will vanquish your enemies in battle. So this Arjuna's concern at the beginning about the sins that he would incur by killing these people, Krishna is now revealing, you're not killing them, I'm killing them. Not, we shouldn't misapply this and, you know, think that we can do evil things to people and then say, oh, it's God's will. No, we have to be very careful that we're only doing God's will. But Arjuna and Yudhishthira in these particular situations are for our benefit. They're acting very concerned about the sin, but actually they incurred no sin because they really were doing God's will, and they were only acting as instruments. So, any further discussion or Rakshit Prabhu?
Similar to the lamentation that Arjuna went through before the war. But before the war, Arjuna had a doubt. Should he fight his brothers and relatives and cousins and all that? How could he? And so he told Krishna, I'm not going to fight. And then Krishna instructs him. And the whole Bhagavad Gita is in response to that lamentation that Arjuna had. We got all the instructions. Now Yudhishthira is lamenting after the war. Similar type of, now I've killed these people and blood is on my hands. And is it Bhishma or somebody who's going to appear and give another instruction?
Yes, that's coming up. We can become very very eager to hear the next chapter, because we're very at the end of this chapter. And now, you know, Bhishma, he was given the benediction that he would not die unless he wanted to. He could choose whenever he would die. So, anyway, you all know the story about how this young woman was wanted revenge on Bhishma, so she was able to perform a sacrifice and take birth as Shikhandi. So then Bhishma would not fight against her in the battle because. Even though it was a male warrior, he knew that this was really Amba was her name.
Yeah.
Ambalika. So he knew that she was this woman who considered that he had wronged her. Actually, he did no wrong. He tried to do everything right, but she wanted to marry him because she couldn't marry. You know, she could. He went anyway. It's a long story. You know probably better than I do. I don't want to take too long telling the whole story, but for his brother, he went and he captured some women, but actually this
his
other
father.
Woman...
His father.
But this woman, he took more than the women he was supposed to take. This woman was already engaged to marry someone else, so his father would not marry her. So he brought her back to marry the other man, but the other man said, no, now that she's been kidnapped, I won't marry her. So then she was saying, "Then you, Bhishma, you took me, you must marry me." But he said, "But I've already taken a strict vow that I will remain celibate all my life and never marry." So anyway, he was covered with arrows in the battle. In her next life, she was this man, this warrior who could kill him. And he was just covered completely, arrows all through his body. And you've seen the picture. There's probably a picture in here. But... there's so many arrows that he's like laying on a bed made of arrows, just being suspended by these arrows. And after the battle was over, he stayed there and he didn't die. You know, and he was waiting for the right moment. And so all these other things have gone on now. Krishna has participated in, you know, and the Pandavas have said ablutions and done performed rites and things, and Krishna was leaving. And now Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting. And so now we can become very eager to hear what happens when, because Yudhishthira can't be consoled, even by Krishna. Even though the philosophers are speaking him these things, Vyasa is there, and great sages are there, but Yudhishthira won't stop grieving that he must have be the most lamentable, sinful person. And so to overcome that, then Krishna brings him to Bhishma Dev. And now Bhishma will tell him the instructions about completely, we were talking about what is dharma, what is Varnashram Dharma, how society is actually organized by God's arrangement to be righteous and so that everybody fulfills their proper role like a great organism, you know, like a great machine. It has all the different parts. They have to be doing things correctly. And the whole purpose of the whole society is to please Krishna. And Bhishma explains all this science. This science is known by the brahmanas, but it has to be taught and followed by the political leaders, the kshatriyas of society. And we were talking earlier about in modern day society, this philosophy isn't known so well. And because of patriotism and nationalism and everybody getting fight, there's a lot of motive passion and it covers the real knowledge of this thing. But really, the world is supposed to operate in a nice, organic, functioning way. We don't need a lot of the technology we have, which is actually described as ugra karma. It's actually hurting. But there's a simple way that people can live in this simple lifestyle. And they can actually even, although people don't know it, actually living simply and righteously, people can live for hundreds of years. Actually, they can live longer. Now we have all this fancy medicine and fancy, they call it fancy, but it's actually fancy technology. But it actually interferes with it. We think it'll make things easier. We don't have to wash our clothes in the river. We can put them in a machine and a spin cycle and dry it and stuff. But actually, all these machines around us are making us irritable and it makes things worse. I mean, they can be used. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. It's like Prabhupada was using the microphones and the book. We can publish books better with this technology than if we had to write them by hand. And we can go out and distribute them, and we can take our cars out to the spots to meet the people and this way glorify Krishna. So Bhishma is going to tell Yudhishthira Maharaj about how the world is supposed to be, politics and social relations are supposed to be organized in human society so that everything can be very pleasing to God and naturally peaceful and conducive of spiritual progress for all the human beings. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.